Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older.
Thursday night, really right after one of the more excruciating games of all time in the NFL. But we'll get to that in a second. Right now, I just have to announce Mikey Meatballs is fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon is producing this mess. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, a degenerate trifecta, Harry, brother, bride, Darren, the parlay kid. What's happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
I'm tired, Sal. I'm tired.
I'm sorry, guys. It's after midnight on the East Coast. I don't know how you guys did. It didn't have to be this way. It could have been 11:20-ish, but that stupid game went to overtime. Thursday night football. The Colts beat the Broncos, underdogs by 3 points, 3.5, somewhere in there. Snooze fest. They win 12-9. 9-6. I don't even know what the hell was. No touchdowns were scored. By the way, I mentioned on Thursday's show, there should be a number for no touchdown score. We couldn't find it on Caesars. No, somebody bet it at 100-1 and thanked us. Good job by you. Keep it all. We don't need any of it. We just want to go to sleep after this. Before we crap on the billion-dollar players, I have to say, Parley Kid, both defenses played well. They really did. They pressured the quarterbacks, but the quarterback play is subpar, and we don't know what's going on. We don't know if it's offensive lines that are bad, if it's just these defenses are getting, trickier or weirder with two safeties back. I'm not sure. I know I've read stuff like that there. It's extending drives and making quarterbacks screw up. But 9-6, a shade over 2 minutes left. Russell hustle and bustle with the lead. Could kick a field goal, or he could run it out. And what does he do? He throws an interception. So, I mean, Richard Sherman's still screaming about it on Amazon right now because it was so, except it was from the 12 instead of the 2 yard line. Unbelievable. They blow it. Denver's in trouble.
Yeah, that was, we were shocked when we saw that happen. We really thought it would have been the smart play for them just to run the ball, maybe get a first down. Right. And then you just kind of kill the clock. Or worst case, you kick a field goal and make the Colts go down and score a touchdown, which wasn't going to happen tonight.
Yeah.
To beat you with very little time. I don't know what I look. We can blame Russell Wilson here. It was a bad decision. But what about the play call itself? Like what's the play call there? Like what are they thinking there? It really didn't make any sense. I still think the receiver got a little lazy coming out of his route too. So I don't know how much.
Yeah.
I think Wilson's got to take some blame, and the coach has to take some blame. And maybe the receiver's got to take a little bit of blame.
Elway's
got to
take some blame.
Just terrible.
No, I don't know.
Terrible play call.
I didn't get many things right, and I don't want to blame it all on Russell Wilson. But I thought we saw his best years are behind him. People were going nuts. I know Damashek and Hatch are like, oh, well, who are these people who think Russell's done? Like, I don't know. What are we? So he's going to Judy, and Jerry Judy is better than Metcalf, and he's involved. Like, what are we? Why are we thinking that Russell Wilson can be so great? A, B, I've seen him abandon the old Russell Wilson style, which is to take off two or three times a game. Not even, no way. It's nowhere on the play chart. Nathaniel, I don't know what's on Nathaniel Hackett's play chart. That guy should be the first coach fired. I don't see it getting better for him,
Harry.
Oh, yeah,
he should be fired.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson.
Wilson totally is not, he's just decided, I think, I'm not running. I'm not running for first downs on third and six. I'm not doing it.
Did he tell him that before he signed the contract? Was he like, listen, I don't want to run. I'm going to take away a huge feature in quarterbacking in 2022.
And meanwhile, the Colts Ryan looks terrible too, but they pull this game out. They're 2-2-1. They're averaging 13 points a game and they're 2-2-1. And in the AFC South, anything can happen. They're right there.
Almost had two ties. You're right. That's a very winnable division. We were joking. If they end up like 2-13 and 2? No, 2-2 and 13, Bri. Do they make the playoffs? I don't know. throw everybody up in a
frenzy. Interesting. That's like fantasy 1 year. I was 8-3-3. I never made the playoffs. So
we didn't know what the hell to do. I was like, I don't know. I think the guys who are 9-5 make the play or whatever. I don't know how to judge. But Matt Ryan, 26-41, not much better. Parley Kid points out they both went over their yardage total because it went to overtime. 251. Russell Wilson, 274. Both threw no touchdowns for either. 4 interceptions combined. I don't know what we just watched. That was awful.
It was terrible. I mean, but we knew that was going to happen kind of coming in, right? We all assumed it was going to go under, really no offense. It exceeded our expectation with the even worse offense.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I kind of enjoy it. I mean, when you're betting the under, we had a fun time, watching that terrible game.
I went 3-3. I had Colts, the under, and McManus, 2 or more field goals. And I feel dirty. I feel dirty taking the money.
The under, I right. pierced. I feel good betting that game, but thank God I bet that game because it was unwatchable.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We were together on Spotify Live. I think we probably ended up going 2 hours, right? We had to run 2 hours on that. We usually try to get in and out in an hour. All right, extrapoints.com/arcade. That's where you play our pick'em contest. That's where you play our prop quiz. $100 and a gold cap up for grabs in those contests. Do it. extrapoints.com/arcade. Babyface, what do you say? I mean, there's so much stuff to say with this game. Colts second team in Super Bowl era to win a game in which they didn't score a touchdown, threw multiple interceptions, and got sacked at least 6 times. The 73 Browns. That sounds right. Yeah. It's worse and worse. We're going to hear more and more.
Good tip by you, because you did say when the season started that you thought Russ would have a drop-off coming from the Seahawks, and I don't even think they should let him cook anymore. He should just be getting Postmates.
He's sashimi at this point. He's not cooking anytime soon. And that Nate Hackett, he looks clueless every single way you turn. He really does. Mm. I feel bad for him. I'm at the point where I feel bad for him. I feel bad for us because we're going to have to wake up early. This is a 24/7 job, Parley Kid, this football thing. We're now going to have to wake up early Sunday, and we're going to call on Spotify Live this Giants-Packers game. It's in London. 8-41 is the line here. You know what, Parley Kid? You like the Giants plus the points? It looks like Daniel Jones is playing.
Yeah, I do, Sal. I just I haven't seen enough from Green Bay's offense that I think they're going to put up enough points to pull away from the Giants. Jones has been, he's been able to run the ball himself. They're going to chew up some clock with Barkley running the ball. I just think this game is close. I think the Packers certainly win this game, but we know how these London games go. I think it's going to be close all the way. Jones makes enough plays to keep the Giants in it. Not that he can match play for play with Rodgers, but Rodgers just doesn't have enough weapons. The strength of this Green Bay team is running the ball. Rodgers is getting a little bit more comfortable with his receivers, but still, if you look at his passing chart, everything is very, very within 10 yards or less. Most of his passes are coming. They're not like a big play offense right now. I think this is a little too much. Too many points to give to the Giants in a neutral site game right now. I mean, the Giants are 3-1. Obviously a great 3-1, but they are 3-1 because they play some pretty good defense. I think that defense is good enough to keep this Green Bay offense in check, which most teams have been able to do anyway so far this season, and keep it close. I think the number is just a little too high for me. So let's take the Giants here, Sal.
I thought it was high, too, and I wanted to take the Giants. And by the way, this is the first London game where we're sending two teams over 500. First one ever. Is that in...
What?
Seriously? Yeah, seriously? Over 500. Yeah, this is... I hope they don't hear about that because it's embarrassing. Yeah, I mean, this is getting them back for that tea scandal from a few years back. does it really matter, though? I mean, Daniel Jones, even if they put Davis Webb in there, it's... Bailey Zappi played well against the Packers, but that makes me think that the defense is going to step up. I'm waiting for it. It's weird because the defense of the Packers is what I thought was lacking, but they're seventh in points allowed. It doesn't seem that way. They get Jair Alexander back. They may get Amos back, which is big. The Giants, on the other hand, have given up the fourth most yards on the ground, 476. So it could be Aaron Jones. It could be Dillon. They may not have to throw the ball a lot. Run, 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 play defense. New York, 0-5 against the spread in their last five road games. I'm going 23-13. I'm sure the Giants could get a backdoor cover here. I think it's going to be a bad London game. We already gave them a good one. 23-13. I am taking the Packers. All right. Chargers at the Browns. The Browns are home catching 2.5. 47.5 is the over under. Bry, we both like Cleveland. Tell me your reasons.
Yeah, it's funny. I really like Cleveland in this one. I still don't know what the Chargers are. I'm always usually down on the Chargers. They're battling a ton of injuries like they do every year. They just have not been impressive so far. They're going back-to-back games right at Houston, which they struggled at. Now you're going up to Cleveland. And, you know, the Browns have Garrett back in this game. They look to get back on track after that bad loss to the Falcons. And this was one of those games, if you recall, last year they blew that game to the Chargers. At Chargers, it was that fun, crazy fourth quarter going back and forth there. But they blew that game. I think they get some revenge here. And I do really like them. I mean, I might buy this up. I might buy this up to three, but I'll take the 2.5.
I was hoping it would go to 3-2, but I don't even think we need it. First of all, the Browns have their Color Rush uniforms on Sunday. Our friend Alec, I'm pretty sure, is responsible for that. So congratulations, Alec. But look, I'm a little biased. I've not been a believer in the Chargers, and I'm not going to start because they beat the winless Texans last week. I know the Browns lost to Atlanta, not much better, but they have a good offensive line. They only allow 1.3 sacks a game, which is second best in the league. No Bosa on the other side. I feel like the Browns are going to be able to run against this team. You know, you look at Chubb and Hunt are over 650 combined through 4 weeks. Chargers didn't get better against the run. They were 31st last year, not much better this year. I think they shorten the game, the Browns. They call their own numbers. I think they shorten the game, but there's going to be a lot of touchdowns, a lot of broken tackles. That's what Chubb does. 30-24, Browns beat the Chargers. Harry, are you shuffling like poker chips? What are you doing there? What's going on there?
Poor guy. Oh my God. Yeah.
Bad.
He's
doing
something,
good.
Something in the air. Something in the air.
Every time this guy travels,
the
he's
dust
like,
storm, Darren, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he travels a lot of dust every week. What are you talking about?
He's always sick. This guy's always sick.
This is disgusting. Can we just get
extra
through this?
Loud that cough today?
The dust storm.
It was Darren. The unbelievable dust storm. I'm telling you,
2022 dust storm. Yeah. I can remember
it
like it was yesterday.
Harry suffered a dust storm for the last 9 years. He's been suffering through a dust storm. I don't know. Very weird. All right, Harry. We'll let you talk about Philly, Arizona. We're on the same. I mean, it's babyface. What happened there? Are you watching?
I have to point this out to everyone that it unfortunately doesn't have video. He coughed so hard just now, his earbuds flew out.
Harry.
What? Angie just sent me a text message. Angie just sent me a text message. She said, coughing up a lung. How does she know this?
Really? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, just a second ago.
She's coughing up a lung. Huh?
Ken might have a big mouth, maybe.
Yeah. All right, here you go. Eagles, 5-49. Give it to us, Eric.
Yeah. Look, in the Battle of the Birds, I'm going to take the Eagles. Philadelphia's offense, 24 or more points in all four games. They look really good. 10 rushing touchdowns for the Eagles. Hurts has 4. Arizona 2-2, fortunate to be when that game Bry against the Raiders. James Conner re-signed in the offseason, only getting 36 yards per game. I think Philly goes to 5-0. And I mentioned this earlier in the week on Against All Odds, where crazy numbers here in this game where Arizona is 10-1 straight up in their last 11 road games, but they just happen to be home here. And in their last 7 home games, they have 0 wins. They haven't won since last October.
And haven't covered
in Glendale, right?
0-7 against a number in Glendale. I was going to bring
that
up. I'll
roll with Jalen Hurts here.
Yeah, I hate to say it because I'm rooting against this team because I'm a Cowboys fan and Parlay Kid. I know you don't like this either, but really, Caesars and Vegas and all the odds makers are treating them like a flawless, undefeated team. To give 5 points to Arizona It was a playoff team last year. Mm. It's a lot to give on the road, but we saw, like, there's a lot high expectations for this team. They're expected to win 13 and a half games, which we couldn't believe at the beginning of the week. Sirianni, coach of the year, right at the top of the list right now. And I think I'm buying into it. And they're facing the NFL's 28th ranked pass defense in the Cardinals. Their defense on the whole ranks number 31 in early down success. That's a big stat there. I think Kyler has trouble with this team. I think they do what they did the first couple of weeks. They stomp everybody out in the first half, and then it's too late for Arizona to come back. 28-17, I'm saying Philadelphia here. All right, listen, bet that. I'm going to listen. We're all on the same page here. Oh, no, Pauly Kidd and I went a different way there. Harry, you're really fighting it, huh? Should we take a break? Wow. All right. Harry, I'm going to say a little something about Caesars, and you sit there and cough to yourself. Yeah. Here we go. All right, listen, whatever you're betting, teasers, over, under, do it through Caesars because they have all the names. Caesar himself, Cleo, the Mannings, Henrik Lundqvist, and now yours truly. Yes, Against All Odds is now a proud member of the Caesars empire. And your very first bet, it's on Caesars. Up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app, use promo code CZRFULL, and go full Caesars this season. Oh, you must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net, Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700, Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT, Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Visit CONNEXontario.ca or call 1-866-531-2600 or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. All right, let's take a break. We're going to gargle. I don't know. We got Listerine there. We got to keep Harry alive here for the next 45 minutes. We'll be back with the rest of the NFL slate and some college.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Pauly Kidd, Cowboys at Rams. Is this still 5.5 and 42?
Mm. I think it is. Still 5.5. I know that.
Yeah, 43 it went to. 5.5, 43. Battle of the Coopers, Rush versus Cup. Pauly Kidd and I are the only ones who think Cooper Rush is the better of the Coopers. Is it worth going to this game? I don't know, Pauly Kidd. What do you have? You have Dallas, but I think you're like me. You just like the points.
Well, look, is it worth going? It probably is worth going, Sal, but it depends, I guess, if that matches up where the Mets play that night, right, for you, or I doubt that's going to really be a
factor. One's a late afternoon, one's a night game, but yeah, I would be sitting in traffic. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a tough call.
$500 for crappy seats, meatballs. I was looking at it.
Well, look, here's the deal, Sal. Sometimes, watching football at home is better than going to the game. It's sure. To me. That's one of the sports.
I mean, so mad, and
that doesn't help. That doesn't help. And I can't, guys. This is really hard for me to focus. Harry's like his eyes are watering.
No, they're not. I'm all right.
I'm starting to realize. I thought he had different types of headphones, like those, like the earbuds that he's wearing.
Yeah,
but because of the, you know, the unique way Harry wears them, right. Does he put them in? Like,
I don't know how it hangs like that.
They're
in a little.
No, but you must. I think you put them in differently than every other people and any other person.
No, like, it does jet out like a coat hanger. It really looks like it has like some elasticity to it or something.
Stethoscope. I don't know. He's definitely.
Yeah, it's just strange. It's very hard for me to concentrate.
I don't want to talk about the Cowboys. I got dust in my ears too,
so I got to be able to hear better.
He's got dust everywhere. Yeah.
Look, it's the same thing what I was just talking about the Giants. I mean, what we've seen from the Rams offense has been very underwhelming so far this year. Stafford's not off to a very good start, and I'm not sure it's really him. I think it's the line, the lack of running game, and the lack of a number two receiver besides Cooper Kupp. And I think the Cowboys will find a way to neutralize Kupp, whether you're gonna run digs on him, or maybe have some coverage, roll some coverage up underneath too, and kind of double him and make somebody else beat you. I think this defense is good enough to keep this game close throughout. I think the Cowboys have found some rhythm here with Cooper Rush quarterbacking. They've shortened the playbook. They've made life easy for Rush, as easy as possible. They've been able to run the ball good enough to set up some play action for this team. Having Gallup back certainly now in week two for him will it certainly helps. Lamb has been CeeDee Lamb has been much better. Really the second half of a couple games ago against Cincinnati.
Yeah, and a little setback this week, but I think he's playing, right?
He's playing. There's no doubt I think he's playing. So, I think the 5.5 here, and there he goes.
What is going on with him?
He's dying. He's like,
Harry, stick your head in the microwave. Is this it for him? Babyface, can we? I don't even know if we can get through this podcast. What do we do? You're the producer. What are we going to do?
Oh, man.
Did Angie poison him before he left?
Maybe she did poison.
I think she was checking in, like, he's coughing, right?
Yeah, she's got it. Yeah, it worked, Angie. If you're listening, it worked. Whatever you did.
Oh, my gosh.
You're probably kids. I follow all the same reasoning. I really do.
Yeah.
The Rams offense doesn't scare me. You take out that Atlanta game, they have 39 in three games. Yeah, could it be where Cooper Rush just takes a step back against the Rams front seven? Yeah, maybe. And maybe he turns it over
and it's just
a disaster of a game. But I'm banking on that defense that you talked about. We've allowed a touchdown on 9% of possessions, which is second best in the league. The other way, Rams have the third best run defense. So it's going to be a weird game for sure. But I'll tell you what, it might be Stafford's fault a little bit. He might have taken a step back. I mean, I don't want to blame every quarterback in the league for sucking this year. But it could be a little bit. Yeah, he's not throwing the ball well. And for that reason, I'm not going to lay 5.5. Cowboys 5-0 against the spread in the last five road games. But here's what's going to happen. Mike McCarthy's blowing this. He's going to have some kind of miscue. I know this isn't any bold prediction. It's been a month. We haven't had anything to turn to him and say, oh, this is it. That was Mike McCarthy's fault. This is the game. This is the Mike McCarthy game. Man.
Is this, by the way, Sal?
Miscue, but we still cover. Yeah.
Bias aside from you and Darren, I mean, is this line a little fishy? It shouldn't be that high, should it?
I don't know.
Dallas' defense, I mean, Cooper Rush has been fantastic, done what he's needed to do. The defense is probably top three in the league. Should it really be 5.5 with the Rams' lack of offense?
I think the Rams need it more, maybe. They have to bounce back. They are. It's a short week, too. I would say it's a tick high, but they're not believing in Cooper Rush. You know, they were only like 2.5 over Washington at home last week, too. So 21-20. I think we lose, but McCarthy blows it there. I hate to say, parlay kid. All right, let's do this, Bri. Atlanta at Tampa, 9.5, 46.5. Boy, Martin Weiss picked this as his pump of the week. He has Atlanta. You like Atlanta, too, at least with the points.
Yeah, I think it's too many points, though. I'd take the 9.5 here. I could see Falcons getting at least a backdoor cover. You know, they've kind of been a pain for their opponents right now. They play hard, you know, and they're not getting a ton out of their passing game. I'm just laughing at Harry Jesus. He's really dying. But yeah, they've.
My gosh. Harry, here's a little trick, Harry. You could mute yourself when you're not speaking.
And well, I don't know if he can, because he's still using his other mic. He's all messed up. I think normally a person could mute themselves. I would be able to do that, Sal. I don't think he can do it.
Do you have a mic? Does it say mic, M-I-C anywhere?
Nope.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Because you're doing it on your phone. Is that what's going on? All right, we're so far backwards here.
I see one.
Oh, let's get through it, Brian. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Falcons have covered four straight, and you know we just still haven't seen the best of Tampa yet. Their offense hasn't looked good, except for you know some garbage time against Kansas City. So I wouldn't trust them yet. You know, after losing back to back games at home, I think they'd have to get on a roll for me first before I would back them at this high of a number. So give me Atlanta plus 9.5.
I have to think – I'm going to go against you here. I don't have a lot of good reasoning other than they have to turn it around at some point, and I think this is the one. I know they've been frisky. They've covered every game, Atlanta, right?
Yep. 4-0. Yep.
4-0. Against spread. I just don't believe the Bucs are as bad as they were versus Kansas City. I think they got off to a slow start. They got run on, which is ridiculous. That never happens. Mm. Maybe Brady's going through some crap, but let's face it. Mariota, if this defense stands up, and I think there's still a top three defense, he's going to screw up a couple times. He was only last week against the Browns 7-for-19 for 139 through a pick. Can they drive him for a backdoor cover like you said? Maybe, sure. But I don't think there's going to be two bad showings in a row at home for the Bucs. It's not likely. They're 4-1 against the spread in their last five division games and 11-5 in the last 16 home games. I know they blew it last Sunday. 31-13. I'm basically saying no backdoor cover. That's my game. All right, Cincinnati at Baltimore. I don't know if I'm going to see even a snap of this game because, Parley Kid, this is the one that goes up against – this is a Sunday night game, right? This goes up against Mets-Padres game three, if there is one. And, oh, there will be one. maybe we get swept and there isn't one. But anyway, I'm taking the Ravens. They've lost five straight home games, -3 and -51. I think it's a – get right game. I didn't drop the Ravens defense. I was looking at that because they're playing Joe Burrow. And you might say the Bengals are back on track. Well, they beat the Jets and they beat an emotionally depleted Dolphins team on Thursday night. So this game's bigger for Baltimore. You get Ronnie Stanley back, I think. A lot of these are game time decisions because Edwards is supposed to play again. I like the under more than anything. The under is 9-0 in the Bengals last nine overall, which is astounding. I take Baltimore 24-20 and go under. Harry, do your best to say a few words about the Bengals.
About the Bengals, I'm going to take the three. This Baltimore secondary is becoming beyond embarrassing, awful, and kind of a real bad loss for Baltimore last week. Up 20-3 at half at home against Buffalo. They blow that game. Last year when these two teams met both times, Cincinnati hung 41 on them both times, outscored them 82-38. Mixon finally got in the end zone last week against Miami, you mentioned, Sal. 16 touchdowns last year. And the last two wins in a row for the Bengals. Burrow, 5 touchdowns, 0 picks, sacked only 3 times where he was sacked 13 times the two previous games before that. O-line playing much better. I'm taking Bengals with a 3 over Baltimore. Give it to me.
Give it to me. Wow. Joe Babyface, you predicted a different ending to that. What did you think he was going to say?
I thought it was coming. He was leading us up for a bombs away, but maybe
no bombs away there.
His larynx, is all messed up.
Solid. No, just a nice, precise performance out of Burrow. Like I said, 5 touchdowns, 0 picks last two games. I think he gets it done again. He's playing a little bit better than Lamar Jackson is right now, too.
All right. But no bombs away. You think it's going to be a little lower?
You know what? Well, considering the way Baltimore's secondary is playing, it should probably be bombs away to Chase, but we'll see. But I'll take the plus 3.
Okay. I don't know why I'm arguing so hard for bombs away. All right. Listen, we're going to figure out if it's under or bombs away. We can take another quick break. Then we got some college action to cover. Tennessee, LSU, Utah, UCLA, and BYU, Notre Dame. We'll be right back. All right, Tennessee, LSU, big college action. It is a fun game. This is the first time these teams have played in 10 years. Well, they played once in 10 years. I don't know. Wow, either way, that's weird. Yeah, they played one time last 10 years. LSU is home catching 365 is the over under. Harry, I know you love this team. You love your Hendon Hooker. What's he
got to get through this game? Got to get through this game. He's down to 13-1 from 40.
13-1. You had him 40-1 to win the Heisman. They lead the nation in yards with 559.3. Second in scoring, 48.5. He's already, your guy Hooker, already around 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns, over 71%. Jaden Daniels, a little riskier, playing after leaving two games with an injury. The last two games, I think they slow it down. I think they play LSU ball. The Vols are just 99th in the FBC in total defense, allow over 400 a game. And LSU's defense is 17th. So this is my Harry stat. Tennessee, 0-6 against the spread. Now, last six, when they play an opponent in the SEC West Division. There you go. I'm going. Could it go under? I think it does. And the Tigers take it 33-24. Brian Kelly pulls it out. Parley Kid, you're with me.
Well, yeah, you're finally with me on the LSU Tigers. I kind of took a lot of crap earlier this year when I took them on the over for their win total. And then after that Florida State loss in the game one, it didn't look good, but they've rebounded very nicely, kind of rounding into form. Like you said, Sal, really a defensive first type of team here.
Yeah,
a defense that Tennessee has not really played the likes of so far this year. I think this LSU defense steps up. And here's another factor, Sal, I think in this game that plays large. This is a very early start in this game here. A noon start. I think that's a big, huge advantage for the home team here and LSU. I think Tennessee's going to be a little thrown off. I think LSU is primed for this game. Brian Kelly's got his team ready to roll. Daniels has been pretty solid, kind of a dual threat. Not great, but good enough to make some plays with his arm and his feet. I think LSU, Sal, I'll take the points here. I'm not sure they're going to win this game, but I think it's there for the taking, but I think this plays close most of the way. Hooker's Heisman chances are out the window after this game.
Oh, that's got to be it, Harry. This is done.
I got to disagree with Parlay Kid saying that the game being early is an advantage for LSU. Couldn't disagree more.
Why?
Because and where LSU, they usually play at night. It's crazy there at night. You know that in Death Valley. Playing early, let's get rolling with Tennessee, get a touchdown right off the bat with Hooker, changes the game plan of LSU, and they can control the pace.
I think their fans are going to show up. It's not going to get past them. They won't oversleep, Parley Kid. I think you're going to have a full house there. You'll be all right.
Yeah, I think so, too.
All right. So we're both on LSU. Brother Bri, Utah, UCLA. This is a fun one. Pac-12 matchup. UCLA played well last week, gave it Washington everything they could. +3.5 at home, 64.5. First ever ranked matchup between Utah and UCLA. Utah has defeated the Bruins in 5 straight. I think UCLA last won in like 2015. But this is a different UCLA squad, scoring 41 a game. I don't trust it. I have high hopes for Utah. I had them big things happening for them in the Pac-12 before the season. They rushed last year. They crushed them 44-24. They had about 290 yards. And Cameron Rising is as solid as they come. It's weird. This Tavion Thompson has had a bad start for Utah. He led the Pac-12 with 21 rushing touchdowns and had 160 yards last year against UCLA. I think he picks it up in this game. Number 3 rushing offense in the Pac-12 this year. Utah also 6-1 against the spread in the last 7 games. 37-30, Bri. You like the over? That gets you over, right?
Yeah, that gets me over. Good. Yeah, it's funny. This over-under is high. I think 64 is high, but it's so high it makes me like the over more. But I do like Utah too. You know, they, like you said, they've won 5 straight in the series, and none of the last 5 have been close. So, like, when you look at the number again, when you look at the numbers, because I look at Whittingham, who's just dominated the series. He's scored 47 points over the last 5 games against UCLA. They're going to put up a lot of points in this one, but I do expect UCLA to have a better effort offensively. Last week is really UCLA's first real test against Washington. They did well offensively. Thompson, Robinson, and Charbonnet have been good for UCLA. So I think this is going to be a high scoring game. I like Utah to win. I could even see like a 40, you know, I could see like 40s. A 40,
well, both teams
30,
are up there.
40, yeah. 30, you know, 40, 34, something like that type of game.
What did I say it was last year? 44,
24. Yeah, it was. Yeah. 68.
All right.
I think.
Well, it could be something like that too. UCLA scoring. They're right there with them. All right. BYU, Notre Dame, Harry, this, and then it's almost over. I promise. Notre Dame 3.5 and 51, the Shamrock series in Las Vegas. How come you and Ken aren't going there?
I know,
you're
right?
Not going to the Shamrock series.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, late night game too. 7:30 start on the West Coast.
You think the LSU fans will travel there and fill? Yeah,
I've already told my buddies in Vegas tell me that there's people there wearing green all over the place for Notre Dame already. BYU travels well. It should be a great game, and I think the Cougars. I think this game's going over 51 because the Cougars 38 or more in 3 of their 5 games. In their loss, they gave up 41 to Oregon. In BYU's 4 or 5 games, 61 points or more have been scored. And I mentioned that Oregon game. They gave up 5 total touchdowns to, of all people, Bo Nix, who can't usually do it against anybody else. I'm leaning towards the over. I really like the over here. 51, like I said, 4 of the last 5 BYU games, 61. Give me the over here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going over. I initially had BYU, but I thought Eddie Spaghetti would be with us, so I could taunt him a little bit. But so what's the point? He's not here.
But his quarterback, Drew Pine, has been playing a lot better lately. He did have 5 total touchdowns. Scoring.
Yeah,
against North Carolina, put up 45. So I'm going to take the over.
And North Carolina, that Drake May had what, like 5 touchdowns? Like, even though they won, right? I mean, he put up, and this Jaren Hall for BYU is top passer, one of the top. I think he ranked 21st in the FBS in total offense, 250 yards in 9 straight games. Pretty good, dating back to last season. Of course, the over's 5-0 in the Cougars' last 5 following a non-cover. I think 31. I'll say 31-30 right in there, but that puts it over. Yeah, let's bet some of these overs, Brian. Just sit back and hopefully not have to worry about it, except under in the LSU game, Paulie kid. I think that's the way to go. All right, Sharp Tank. Give me your best bet for the weekend, guys. I will jump on one of them. I'll pick one of the 3. College, pro, baseball playoffs. Is it a UFC? Is there a UFC card this week?
No.
There isn't.
Next week.
They're backing away, huh? All right.
Yeah.
We got enough going on. Paulie kid, start us off.
I searched high and low here, Sal, to find something that really, you know, struck me. I was thinking of some parlays. I was looking at trying to put together 3, you know, heavy favorites, but I decided to stay away because there's the one game, and I know you like it, Sal. I like the Ravens this week at -3. Mm-hmm. I think they're an angry team. I think Harbaugh is angry after not pulling that game out last week, or at least kind of having some coaching failures late in that game. I think Jackson's a little angry. As you mentioned before, I don't think Cincinnati – look, I like Cincinnati, but, you know, their 2 wins have been a little suspect. Mm-hmm. You know, the Jets and a Dolphins team that was kind of reeling after the Tua injury. And if Tua, you know, had completed that game, I don't think
they should beat the Steelers too.
Well, they were Steelers losing the whole game.
They should be 3-1.
Absolutely. Well, you could totally say they could be 1-3 right now as well. So,
Harry, you could say nothing too and save your voice. So
What I thought was interesting, Sal, is that the point total's down to 47 now. Was 51. Mm-hmm. Right? What was it? Do we have it?
Was it that high? Yeah, did it go that much?
Let's see. What'd you say it was before? 51.
Did it drop? Yeah, 51.
Sitting at 47 right now. I don't know why that happened. I was trying to figure that out. I can't believe so much action would be going the other way on that. But I just think Baltimore is going to be a little desperate this weekend. I think... you know, we were talking about Jackson MVP just a week ago, probably.
Yeah.
I think he rebounds with a gigantic game this week. Baltimore wins this game by 7, something like 31-21 or 31-24.
All right.
So let's take the Ravens -3.
All right. What I forgot what score I gave there. Did I think I gave somewhere in
I think
there.
You said 24-20.
All right. 24-20. Like all right. Yeah. I still do like the Ravens. All right. Harry, what do you like?
I'm going to take the Titans on the money line at -130 over Washington. Seems like a little bit of a fishy line. I think it opened up 2.5. Now it's down to 1.5. I'm going to lay the 130. This game resembles a lot like last week of the Giants and the Bears. Just in this type of game with not many offensive weapons, just give the ball to the best player on the field and let him win the game. That's what Saquon did against the Bears last week. Do the same thing here with Derrick Henry. Washington just 18 points in total in their last two games, and one of them against the Eagles was a garbage touchdown with a minute to go. Derrick Henry had his best game of the year last week. He had 150 total yards, had a touchdown, looked great. Just pound the ball to Henry. You'll score more than Washington. Get the W, Titans. Stay and go 3-2 in this AFC South, taking Tennessee.
No, I don't love it. I think I took Washington on our thing there. I just think it's weird. It is weird.
But like you mentioned also, Sal, last week that Dallas Washington was weird too, and Washington still can manage 10 points.
Yeah, no, I know. Sometimes you overthink it 3-4 times.
Just take the under. Just take the under.
Yeah, probably not a lot of points. All right, Brian, what do you like? Brian's going bumper pool here.
I'm going bumper pool. I'm going to take Arkansas +9.5 at Mississippi State. I think that line is really high. It's funny. My Sharp Tanks have been pretty good lately, and this reminds me of my pick last week, right? I had Kentucky at Ole Miss getting 7.
On the road,
I thought that was way too high. But look, both teams are coming off emotional games, right? Arkansas, I will say, is a tough stretch, right? Because you had that Bama game that you were kind of in it till the end. Yep. And they also lost to Texas A&M in a close game right before it. But they're going to be motivated to, you know, they don't want to lose 3 games in a row here. And I think Mississippi State coming off that big win, kind of blowout win against Texas A&M, they're not as good as they are. They're not as good as, you know, and Arkansas isn't as bad as they've been. I mean, they've still been pretty good, but it's too big of a line. They're 7-2-1 against the spread, Arkansas, in their last 10 road games. I think, you know, I could even see Arkansas pulling off the upset here. But yeah, 9.5 to me is just way too much.
All right. Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't know how they got away from that. Alabama game got away from that. That was like really insanity.
Yeah.
Like a 20 minute stretch. I do like, is KJ Jefferson definitely in? It was practice Wednesday, right?
Yeah. I mean, as far as I know,
All right. I've seen, I'm with you. I mean, Cade Ford then, but I'm reading stuff here. I think he plays Jefferson. Looks like, looks like he's going to play. I'm going to go with you, though, Darren. I'll go with the Ravens. I already have big bucks on the Ravens, so I might as well give it up.
Nice.
-3. that was a ridiculous -3 spread tonight. What I thought the superior team at home could take care of business, but they didn't. They didn't at all. So I'm going with the parlay kid, Ravens. That's Sharp Tank. Let's quickly go over our baseball picks. We went in depth Thursday mornings against the odds if you want to listen back there. Mets 170, -170. I'm going to take them. I think matchup-wise, it's not great. Yu Darvish just dominated them this year and in the past, but we won 101 games. We win a lot of the offensive matchups, and I think Josh Hader is the difference. 7.31 ERA since the trade. I know he's been okay in the last few weeks, but I think I'm going to predict specifically Lindor gets to him in game 3 Sunday. Mets advance against the Dodgers. Real quick, who do you guys like? Parlay kid, I know you have to take the Mets, so you could be like, oh, what happened? Right? So you're going Mets?
Well, yeah, if we're just talking that series, of course I like the Mets. Yeah. What can you get the Mets in game 1? You might be better off just betting the Mets in game 1 than to win the series, I think, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you think the Mets are going to win the series, I think
game one would be tough, though.
So, a really good option, right? Yeah, he's tough.
They're -156.
That's how much of a difference then. I thought maybe you get a little bit better number there. Sal, the Mets were 13 games better than the Pods, right? So, why wouldn't I like the Mets? They're the better team. They're the better team.
Good, Harry. Real quick, Mets or Padres?
I take the Mets too. I like it in 3. Just overall, the pitching is, I think it's still going to be a little bit better here. Maybe like we discussed earlier, they don't have to go with DeGrom, but if they have to for game 3, make it happen. He'll get it done.
That would be terrific if they could pass on him the whole time. Bri?
I personally, I'm not betting this series because I think that I think the line for the Mets is too high.
It is.
But I still like them in the series. I think it's way too high though to back them.
It's at specifically pitcher matchup. It's too high. I think if you get this, you know, but if you look at it like the Parlay Kid did, and you should, one under one wins versus 89, then yes, it should be about 170, 200. But I don't know. All right, Phillies Cardinals. I'm taking a chance here with the Phillies plus 120. I like them. I think this 1-2 punch is pretty good with Wheeler, who's put up 14 scoreless against St. Louis, and Nola. If it goes three, if you get a Ranger Suarez or a Kyle Gibson in there, not as good. But I think they take the first two plus 120. Don't love it if it goes three. Darren, who do you like in the series?
Yeah, I like. I think this is where I'll go ride with the dog here with the Phillies. I know they're a slight underdog, but you know, look, I think they got they're mostly healthy right now. Philly, the Cardinals haven't. I feel like they haven't had to really play a meaningful game in a while here, which I think can maybe hurt them. The Phillies have had to win ball games down the stretch. Cardinals have kind of been on cruise control for a while now. I don't think, you know, I think they were in the weaker division here. I think Philly's a little bit more battle-tested. Like you said, their top two starters have been pitching real well as of late. So let's take the slight underdog in the Phillies.
Look for Alec Bohm. Like, guys like Bohm and Rhys Hoskins. Like Bohm, I think 8-for-19 against the Cardinals. Hoskins, like 9-for-25. They light it up. Brian, you like Phillies or Cards?
Yeah, we saw Bohm up close when we saw him against the Mets. Yeah, he had a good bat. But yeah, I mean, I gave out the Phillies on yesterday's pod. So, yeah, I just like the pitching matchups here. And I do think they have a slightly better all-around lineup as well.
Yeah. Harry, clean sweep?
Yeah, I like the Phillies too, but it is interesting, though. Molina, Pujols, Wainwright. See, that'd be a great story for those guys to win the series and move on. But overall, I think the Phillies, Schwarber shows up, gets a couple home runs here, helps them out, plus Bryce Harper. 0-for-4 lifetime in playoff series, .211 batting average lifetime in playoffs. Bryce Harper, you're going to be 30. Bryce Harper's going to be 30 in about a week. He's never done anything in the playoffs. When's he going
to
do it?
Is time
it
now? To get it done. Time
211
to get
is
it
not
done.
Much worse than what he is this year. It's like 230
sure,
something, right?
I know. 230, right.
All right, American League Cleveland. Oh, I got the two Shanes going game one. Bieber versus McClanahan for the series. Cleveland's a minus 125 favorite. I'm going with the experience. I'm going with the hot team. I can't believe how much I know these games aren't completely meaningful here, but down the stretch once Tampa clinched, but they've lost five in a row. Like I said, they only won one series since September 9th. And they're going against a hot Cleveland team who's done well most of September, right? 21-8. Paul, again, I know you're
24-6, I believe, Sal, in their last 30. That includes some October baseball. So, yeah, I like Cleveland here, Sal. I think their pitchers between Bieber, Quantrill, McKenzie. I think they've been very good since really probably August. They've been good all year, but it's really since about early August. They've really stepped up their game. Mm-hmm. I like them to win the pitching matchups here. McClanahan has struggled down the stretch. Glasnow is just coming back. Hasn't gone more than three innings in either of his two starts yet. And Kluber is just a little long in the tooth, and this Cleveland team seems hungry right now. I think they're just a better team, the better overall team than Tampa. So I think we're getting pretty good value at minus 120 to win the series, a 125.
Yep. Bri, you with us with Cleveland?
I'm not. I'm going to go with, I mean, funny. Tampa, I know what you're saying. They have not played well, but Tampa is just a team that they, in general, scare me. Like, even if I'm
tough
the Yankees.
Out first week in October, normally.
Yeah,
very tough.
I mean, look, these two teams just played recently in Cleveland, and every game was a one-run game. I will tell you, I will probably be betting the unders in all Tampa playoff games. But Tampa's relatively healthy compared to where they were not too long ago. So, yeah. I just think they're a little bit more battle tested overall, their team. And again, they scare me. And again, it's hard to say because Cleveland, in a terrible, terrible, terrible division. And Tampa, you know, Tampa had to battle in that East.
For the White Sox to have a shot, like with 2 weeks left, that is a really bad division. The Twins went away and they were garbage anyway. Harry, so 2-1. Which way are you going? Guardians won 4-6, but they were close games, a lot of them.
Yeah, I'm going to go Guardians. Nobody cares about the Guardians. Nobody wants the Guardians around. They're probably thinking they're boring, so I'm riding with Cleveland.
All right. I had no idea. Nobody cared about them.
Nobody cares. No one talks about Cleveland. Well, no, nobody talks about Cleveland.
I mean, it'll be a big thing, right? Say won the whole thing. Babyface, what are you saying here? What's the stat you're coming with?
Well, no, I mean, I know you're bummed out. You would have rather had the Mets win the division and avoid the wild card. But it is. I mean, sometimes the rest isn't good on these teams. I think the wild card winners have won half the league division series. So it's about split. And then two wild card winners did actually win the World Series. So you never know what.
It always seems like the Dodgers and Astros are there and they win 105 games and they're there. But if you say so, I'd feel much better if having the next 96 hours off, not have to worry about it. Mariners, Blue Jays minus 160, Mariners plus 140. I don't love that Mariners lineup. And I think Manoa takes care of business. Really good. All year he pitched well, but in September, 0.88 ERA. Mariners 26th in the league in team batting average, 230. Jays in three.
Yeah.
That'll go to Sunday. I know, Harry, you're against me. You like the Mariners.
Yeah, well, look, Mariners have actually beaten Toronto five straight times. And again, I think this may factor in late in games. If it's close, Mariners led the majors in one-run victories with 34. Give me the Mariners in three.
All right. Parlay Kid, you follow these teams.
So I'm going to ride with the Blue Jays here. I just think they hit the ball better than the Mariners. And I think the pitching is even enough where, you know, the Blue Jays are first in batting in the league at 264, compared to Seattle sitting at 26th, as you mentioned. That's a big, big difference here. Third in on-base percentage, fourth in runs scored, seventh in home runs, third in slugging. Their lineup is just that much better than Seattle's. And then when it comes down to it, I think that would just be too much for the Mariners. Mariners aren't going to win these games 2-1 against this Blue Jays team.
Yeah.
They're just not going to do it. I think regardless of the success Seattle's had, this is a new season. They could throw all those other stats out the window from the Mariners' dominance as of late against the Blue Jays. Blue Jays win this series in three.
Brian, 21 years since they made the playoffs. Are they just happy to be there in Mariners, or you give them a shot?
I definitely give them a shot. I mean, I see why Harry's taking them. I do think they have the edge, I think, slightly in the pitching matchups. But I do think the lineups, again, in the playoffs, that doesn't necessarily mean anything when going against good pitching, but they have the type of guys who will hit in the playoffs, right? When you have a Springer out there, that guy seems to come up with a big hit every time he's up when they need it. So guys like him and Guerrero, I think, will come through a little bit more for them. But I think it's going to be tight. It's going to be tight. Like Parley Kid was saying, I think this is going to go three games here.
All right, there you go. I'm terrified already. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, the Mets are playing all three nights.
I will say it's fun. I mean, for a Yankee fan, I mean, I like watching Met games, so it's fun that they'll be on.
Nice to be off.
Would you, if the Mets were at the same time as, say, the Cardinals are at 2 tomorrow, at least Eastern, or Cleveland is at noon tomorrow, Eastern, would you have your kids stay home from school tomorrow
to
watch the game?
Yeah. Well, as it is now, my son has a football game during all this, so I'm going to be... Yeah. I think I would keep them home. I mean, I kept them home the first week, not the whole week, but first game.
There was something about that, right? As a kid, like when all the playoff games were in the afternoon, and whether we were able to stay home and watch them, you kind of always had I remember kids bringing transistor radios into school.
That was great. Right? And it was deep into the playoff. Now, I guess the World Series games were, they were during the day too. You'd see a day game, right? No, maybe not.
I feel like I remember them more at nighttime, Sal.
Again. Definitely the NLCS. Like the Mets, Dykstra hit that home run. That was a day game.
Astros. Yep.
That ended like in the 90s, like early 90s, I think, when they then they went to night games.
You're right, Harry. Yeah.
Probably. I mean, remember that, you know, Garvey against the Cubs, that run. I mean, the Cubs were always during the day anyway, early because of the light situation. But Sandberg, yeah, that was fun. Yeah, I missed the I missed the day baseball for sure. Yeah. Friday.
Was this, by the way, was this the first time I don't recall the Major League Baseball ending on a day other than Sunday, right? This was different too? Always ends on a Sunday.
No, I don't know. The last few years have been screwed up with COVID and everything.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, I don't know. But anyway, that's going to do it. Harry, I want to thank you for braving the storm. You sat through a dust storm. You recorded in a 5-star hotel that had only one power outlet. I don't know how you do it, but I appreciate you getting through. How you feel?
Does have a hot tub, personal hot tub.
Oh, can you plug it into one of the sockets, maybe your phone? From there? That'd be good. All right, Babyface, you have anything to say about this? I'm surprised we got through the hour.
I really am. I'm glad he's feeling better, and he surprised me tonight. He coughed it up tonight more than Melvin Gordon. He really did.
I can't even remember how many people. What is the stat on Matt Ryan? And he won that game. He now has like 11 fumbles.
Yeah.
And how many interceptions, Harry? You would keep a track of that. Five?
Seven picks now. Seven picks.
Oh, my God. And that's a 500 team? Goes on there. Yeah. It's a mess. Well, come on, league. Get it together, league. All right, that's going to do it for another episode of Against All Odds. From Mikey Meatballs, Babyface, Joel Solomon, and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na